Take heed that no one deceive you. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Pastor has been preaching on end times for some time, last few weeks, and the Lord wants me to continue that thinking process because there is so much deception in the world today that you have to know what to do so that you don't get deceived. It's not all that hard to do. Matthew chapter 24. I think I've run enough off. If there's not, we'll run more off. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Remember there Jesus had, or the disciples had asked Jesus, what's the sign of your coming, the end of the age, and when shall these things be? Jesus did not directly answer that with his first statement. He warned them. And this is the warning you need to hear this morning. Take heed that no one deceive you. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. That's going on in the world today. There are many people that think they're anointed. They want you to follow them. But Jesus said, I'm the only way there is. There is no other way. Jesus said, take heed that you not be deceived. If you have your papers on the top of it there, it's the word heed. Take heed says to look, beware, perceive. Usually implying more especially intent. And I want to ask the question, because what is the intent of what people are telling you, and why are they telling you? Some people's intent is to deceive you. Some people's intent is just to get you to believe what they believe so they can feel better about what they believe. There's always an intent behind what people say. What is that intent? What are people trying to do with your spirit and your mind when they start talking to you? Which means also the opposite of that is, why do you talk to people? What's your intent for winning souls? What's your intent for doing what you do? What's your intent for why you talk to people? Say, what's going on inside? You got to look for that. Because that's where you'll find the deception. The words they use may sound good, but the reason they're using them may not be good for you at all. So, know what the intent. Take heed, beware, perceive, listen to what people say until you make up your mind why they're saying it, then you either tune them out or listen. And then the word deceive, in your notes there says to mislead the mind. And that's where it starts. That's where deception begins. To deceive by leading into error. To seduce, to form a wrong judgment. To seduce a person into rebellion from the truth. That's what happened in the garden. The Garden of Eden. That's what the devil did. On purpose, his intent was seducing and getting them away from the truth. Because he knew if he could get them away from the truth, then the flesh would take over. It did. We're products of it. And you're still fighting the exact same battle today. The intent of the devil is to get you away from God. The intent of your flesh is to get you away from God so it can do what it wants. If you don't believe it, try and go spend an hour in prayer praying in the Holy Ghost and see how well your flesh likes it. It's not interested. How many know your flesh didn't get saved, never will get saved, can't get saved, it's going back to dirt? So why should we give it its way? Why should we let something that wants to take you away from God have its way? We're so used to listening to our flesh that we give in before we even think about it. We got to start breaking that. We need to take heed to what God is saying and what His Word is saying. In your notes there, deception by others. We're going to cover two areas. Deception by others and self-deception. Self-deception is much more deadly than deception by others. The reason for that is because you can be talked back out of what somebody else has told you. But you can't be talked out of what you have chosen to believe. When you choose to believe the wrong thing, that's why you find it so hard. People are set in their ways. How many of you have been accused of being set in your ways? There in Mark 12:24, Jesus replied. Now, bring this into context. If you read the scriptures before this, the Sadducees had said, hey, Jesus, because see, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels and they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they were sad, you see. But anyhow, they went to Jesus and said, well, we had a friend and he had seven brothers, and he got married, and he had the wife, and then he died, and so the second one had the wife. See, in Moses' law, you're supposed to take your brother's wife and raise children unto the Lord. And so they all seven had her. What happened? Now listen to what Jesus' reply is. He says, your mistake or your deception is that you don't know the Scriptures. How many know everything there is to know about the Scriptures? So we've got room to grow, huh?
A little bit.
So we've all got some areas that we need to learn more and get more information. You don't know, second line there, you don't know the power of the achieving, the word power there is dunamis, you don't know the achieving ability of God. Verse 25, for when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. There's no spiritual reproduction in eternity. That's God's problem, not ours. Verse 26, I don't want to go any farther than that. I could, but I won't. Verse 26, but now as to whether the dead will be raised, haven't you ever read about this in the writings of Moses, in the story of the burning bush? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, they're not dead. So, verse 27, He is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error. Your serious deception is that you don't know the Word of God. He is only the God of the living. Hallelujah! See, people that are dead spiritually, He is not their God. People have come up with the idea there's many ways to God. They've come up with the idea that we're all brothers and sisters in, you know, the whole universe and everybody, we're all... Uh-uh. If you're not alive spiritually, you're not a child of God. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And if you ain't with Him and got His life, you ain't living. He is only the God of the living. Romans 16:17. It's in your notes. And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Then he has the audacity to say, stay away from them. When you know somebody is pushing wrong doctrine on you, stay away from them. Stay in the Word of God. The Word of God and your born-again spirit with the Holy Spirit in your spirit is the final decision of what you make a decision to do. To believe or disbelieve what somebody's telling you. You better believe the Word of God over your mind. If you think your mind knows more than the Word of God, you're deceived already. Because there's no questioning God's Word with your natural mind. And the only question your spirit has for the Word of God is how can I understand it more so I can do it? Your spirit doesn't question the validity of the Word of God. Not when you're born again. It does not question that validity. It believes it. So if you have any doubt in your mind, it's from the natural mind. Shut it off. How many know that your natural mind is what you got you in all the trouble you've ever been in? And you're going to trust it to get you out? I don't think so. No, you trust your spirit. And your spirit is now based in the Word of God. Verse 18, such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. Now, I'm going to be real blunt. If you're seeking ministry, you're seeking your own personal interests. If you're seeking Jesus, and you do it with all your heart, you'll get more ministry than you can handle. Then why does it take so long? I can speak from experience on that one. Because it takes us so long to learn and grow up. Find out what God would do. That doesn't mean you can't witness and can't go out and do what the doors open. Go on out there. We went rest home services. We went different places. But all the while I was going doing that, I was growing and maturing and changing. Listening to the Word of God on a daily basis. And then He one day put me in full-time ministry. And by the time I got there, I knew I wasn't ready. That's the problem with a lot of us. We think we're ready. And God says, oh no, you ain't. You're a long ways from ready. Why? Because in your mind you think you're ready. In your mind you can't trust. But if you're born again spirit and your life when you walk with God is submitting to the authority and the people God has put over you, whether you think so or not or like it or not, you better submit to Him. Because if you won't submit to a man what God has put in a position here, you ain't submitting to God. I learned that the hard way too. You never forget it when you learn it the hard way. You come up and think, well, this is what God wants me to do. And all of a sudden you hit a brick wall. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. That was what I thought I wanted to do. That's what I thought You wanted me to do. But you can get deceived. And see, this in this case, we're still dealing with others being deceived by others. But He said, you're not serving the Christ our Lord. You're serving your own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive or seduce holy, innocent people. Let me ask you a question. Can you be seduced or deceived? Physically, yes. Spiritually, if you stand in the Word of God and stay with the Word of God, the Holy Ghost in you cannot be deceived. That's why you learn to go by that inner witness. If you don't know what that inner witness is, you better get on your knees before God until you can feel what's going on inside. But it's really not that hard, because every time you do something wrong and you feel it, that's the inner witness saying, don't do that. It's really not that hard. How many know when you do something wrong? Inner witness. That was hard, wasn't it? I don't want to be deceived. Fact is, I refuse to be deceived. Because I don't allow my thinking to get in the way of the Word of God. You tell me something that's scripturally, I'm going to go to the Word of God and test it. Just because you say it doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. Excuse me, if that offends you, I've always been that way. My dad taught me to be rebellious in that area. He did that. One of the good things he taught me. Then in 1 John 2, or 3, verse 7 and 8, says, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. A couple of two, three points in there. One is, let no one deceive you. Whether you be deceived or not is in your hands. You're the one that either will allow or not allow somebody to deceive you. Our mind is like a computer. When something happens or we listen to a preaching or a teaching or whatever is going on, our mind will then draw out from things we've heard. It'll go back into its memory banks and pull out from what it's heard. This is what I had to learn to do. Fill my memory banks with the Word of God, so when I check things out, it goes to the Word of God, not what I've heard that I want to hear. I don't trust what the natural wants to hear. It's got to be the Word of God. Second, he who practices righteousness. That's talking about your fruit. What's the fruit of what you believe? You come tell me you're a prophet, I want to watch your life for a while. Does what you say come to pass? Are you living the daily life? Are you living at home with your wife and family and treating them like you would treat the church or Christ in the church? If you are, I'll listen to you. If you ain't, I won't. Well, you say, well, can't God use people that are not right with Him? Oh, yeah, He can. But that's not a normal function. If that's a normal function, then you can say, well, God's people and God's leaders can just do whatever they want and God's going to use them anyhow. I don't believe that for a second. Besides that, as the leader in the church, I know how God deals with me. He don't let me get away with anything. And it isn't that He doesn't let me. I don't want to. My heart is open to the Word of God. My heart is open to what He's saying so that I can do the Word of God because I know it's going to affect those around me. And if my life doesn't line up, that doesn't mean a person has to be perfect, but if my life doesn't line up with the Word of God that I teach, then go listen to somebody else. I mean it, God. Now, I know I got a long ways to go, but we need to be living. It says, he who practices righteousness, or practices doing what's right. That's all righteousness means, is just doing what's right. By the Holy Spirit, not by your flesh. Your flesh ain't righteous. Never will be righteous. Then the last one, just as Jesus is righteous. Hey, you like Him for a measuring pole? You can measure up to some people, and boy, you can look pretty good and think pretty good about yourself. Then the Holy Spirit comes along and says, wrong measuring stick. Jesus is just standing over here. You go over, get next to Him, and see how that feels. That'll get your attention in a hurry. And then let's go into the area of self-deception in James 1:22. But be sure you live out the message and do not merely listen to it and so deceive. That means to reason falsely or incorrectly for yourself. Now, is that a suggestion or a command? I never have found the Word of God making a suggestion. It just don't seem to work that way. Live out the message. Well, I always thought He was only talking to leaders. They're the ones that have to do it. Well, then you're a leader. You're leading somebody. Somebody's watching you. It don't matter who you are. Somebody's watching you. So you are a leader. Verse 23, if someone merely listens to the message and does not live it out, he is like someone who gazes at his own face in a mirror. He gazes at himself, then goes out and immediately forgets. That means to forget and therefore to neglect what sort of person he was. Now, there's a point here that we've missed for years. We're keeping that and looking in the natural. That isn't what he really meant there. How many of you know that you are a born-again believer that has the Holy Spirit in you and that you are a changed person? That's who he's saying they forgot who they were. They go out into the world and they look at what's going on and they don't want to offend anybody, so they become like the world and they forgot who they were spiritually. We can't afford that. Not anymore. We're too close to the end time and the Lord coming. We've got to live what we know is right. In verse 25, but the one who peers into the perfect law of liberty, see, now he's getting into the spiritual area, and fixes his attention there and does not become a forgetful listener, but one who lives it out, he will be blessed in what he does. How many have found that to be true? That is absolutely true. Verse 26, if someone thinks he's religious, or you can reword that and say that you're born again and that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but you don't bridle your tongue and so deceives, means to seduce into error his heart or himself, his religion is futile. Can you deceive yourself that badly? Yes, you can. And you'll do it with your own mouth. And the trouble with that is like I said earlier, because you, as an individual, decide what you want to believe, then when somebody comes along with the Word of God and it doesn't line up with your thinking, you'll reject the Word of God instead of your thinking. That's where you get in trouble. Because that's spiritual deception now. And if you get spiritually deceived, you can walk clear away from God and really not know it. Because in your mind, you got born again at one time, and once saved, always saved, that means everything's going to be all right no matter what I do. Oh, no, that don't work. Why did Adam sin then? He had it made. He had a born again spirit. He was alive to God. He walked out of God. You tell me you can't? Oh, yeah, you can. I don't believe it's a common thing that happens all the time, but it's a possibility. Verse 23, for if someone... I read that, didn't I? Bridle his tongue. Oh, my. Shall we talk about the tongue? Anybody in here that's never had a problem with yours? Never got you in trouble. If you bridle the tongue. Oh, I thought it said if your husband or wife bridled your tongue. Wouldn't that be nice? They have tried and failed. That's why he said, if you bridle your tongue. If you don't bridle your tongue, you'll deceive yourself and you'll deceive others. Now let's go on to 1 John 1:7. We need to keep moving here. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We form a wrong judgment of ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, John was teaching this because there was a group in his church that was doing that very thing. They were deceiving themselves, and they were taking as many people with them as they could. How many? You know, sin doesn't like to be alone. Wrong don't like to be alone. It always wants company. It always wants somebody with it so it can build its ego up by what other people think. But on the day of judgment, you'll stand there alone. You won't have nobody there with you but you. We can deceive ourselves if you say that you have no sin. We've all heard this before, and it's absolutely true. The first time you do something wrong and the Holy Spirit tells you you're doing something wrong, but you don't listen and you do it anyhow. You're convicted. You don't want to do it. You want to make it right. Next time you do the same thing, it doesn't bother you as much. And that's true. And then it just keeps getting... It's like searing. How many have been around burned flesh? There's no feeling left in it. And that's what you will take yourself to spiritually. And you don't want to go there. Because that you end up in deception. And our theme today is take heed that you do not be deceived, whether by others or by yourself. Take heed to your own thinking. What you listen to, and how you think. Go ahead and turn your papers over. He finishes that thought there. He gives you the answer. This is what I love about the Lord. He always gives you the answer. And we're going to have some scriptures before we close on how you can stop deception. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's admitting that I have sinned. Is it true? Have you sinned and fell short of the glory of God? Yeah, we have. But if we confess that sin, He's faithful and just to forgive that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then in 1 John 2:26, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. In other words, to try to cause you to wander and go astray spiritually. But the anointing, the inner witness, which you have received from Him abides in you. See, those people that were drawing people out of the church and saying that what John said wasn't true, he's saying they're leading you astray. Quit following them. Don't listen to them. Stay away from them. Why? Because they weren't telling the truth. See, John got a little irritated there, and rightly so. See, John had been with Jesus. He knew what Jesus said. John's the one that wrote in St. John. He said, if all the books that could have been written about what Jesus said, he said that the world couldn't contain all of the books. He said so much. We probably don't have a hundredth or a thousandth of what Jesus said, actually, to all the disciples and the preaching and teaching He did. But John was there, and he heard it. And he knew Jesus was the truth and the only way. And here's somebody that wasn't telling John he was wrong. He was telling John that Jesus was wrong. That's scary. See, that person was going out of God and end up totally away from God. The anointing, that inner witness which you have received from Him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you or He has taught you, you will abide in Him. So that's bringing up some points. You do not need that anyone teach you. What that means is that every teaching that you hear needs to go through that inner witness. No man as a person is a teacher. It's the Holy Ghost. And if that don't witness through that inner witness by the Holy Spirit in you, then don't listen to it. The problem is people are sometimes using their natural mind to dissect a spiritual truth, and the flesh don't agree with it, so they think that's not of God. That's where you can get off. See, that is where if you haven't trained yourself with the Word of God and you don't have your spirit full of the Word of God, then your natural mind is going to start filling in the blanks. And you can't afford that. You don't need any man to teach you. You need the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. There is no other. But He uses the people, and He's chose to use through preaching and teaching in the fivefold ministry to minister to the body. That's God's choice. Man didn't set that up. I'm glad He didn't. Because then he'd want to run it his way. You got to understand something about ministry. The higher you go in ministry, the lower you go as far as serving the people. Man's way is the boss is up here and everybody else is underneath. God's way is you're the biggest servant of all and everybody else is above you. Keeps your ego down where it belongs. What will pride do to your ministry? Destroy it. That's right. It destroyed the devils. The devil had the highest ministry in heaven. And he got pride. Pride was found in him. How long did it take God to kick the devil out of heaven when it was found? How fast does lightning move? Jesus said, I saw it. Is he going to put up with it in you? No. But see, the damage of that thinking process is what's going to hurt you. It ain't going to hurt the Holy Ghost. It'll hurt you. And it'll hurt your ministry. And it'll hurt people that you're supposed to minister to when you ain't ready on the day they need it. And don't tell me we can't change our mind in a hurry. We've all done it. You'll be arguing with somebody and having a fuss, and you may be in a huge heat of words and stuff like that. Somebody call on the phone, you're sweet as pie. That's how fast we can change our attitude and our thinking process when we need to. Well, sometimes you're talking to yourself and God, you need to change your attitude the same way. You ever have a conversation with yourself? With God? You need to. That's what I'm going to invite a lot of you to do when you come forward a little later on, those who want to, because it's time you took some time with God and met some needs that are in your life that He wants to meet this morning. That inner witness which you have received from Him abides in you. Do not need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you. See, there was people in the church telling John that what he was teaching was a lie. And he says, no, this is the truth. It is not a lie. But then he says, you will abide in Him, or in the truth, in the Holy Spirit. See, what does it mean to abide? How many go home, have a home to go home to? That's where you abide. That's where you live. That's what it's saying here. You go live in the Holy Ghost. Go live in the Word of God. Go live where the truth will always come out of you and it'll correct you on its way out. I will. Verse 28, now little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you've always taught the Word of God and spoke the Word of God out of your life, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. When He appears, you praise God, man, you're ready to go. That's what He's talking about. He says, I know that He is righteous, and you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Now, He goes back and ends up with the thought, what are you doing? What are you doing with what you know? Are you practicing or living it? Then let's go into Revelation 3:15. I know all things you do. Now, this is Jesus talking to the church age. He says, I know all the things that you do, that you are neither cold nor hot. He's talking to the Laodicean church. And he says, I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm, like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, that don't sound good. Since Dean came back from heaven, and he, some of the things he shared with me gave me understanding that, and we all need to know this, that what Jesus talked to in the seven church ages in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, what was going on in the first church age progressed to the second and some other things with it. And it just kept progressing until it's all of the stuff that is in every church age is going on in the Laodicean church age, and that is the time we're living in. But we're also living co-equally in the Philadelphia church age, which is the sixth church age. They're being side by side. See, in the sixth church age, the Philadelphia church age, he says, I'm going to take you out. That's the rapture. In the seventh church age, he's standing there knocking on the door trying to get into the church. God's not knocking on our door trying to get in. He's in here. He's not knocking on your heart. He's in your heart. The seventh church age goes through the tribulation. The sixth does not. We need to understand that thing. See, He's going to take us up out of here. But He says, since you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. When you say... He's telling the church what they're saying. The church is saying, and many churches have this ability. They're large enough that they says, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I don't want to be in that condition. Then he advises them. I advise you to buy gold from me. Spiritual things. Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so that you will be able to see. He wants you to see spiritually where you're at. Verse 19, I correct and discipline everyone I love. Is God correcting and disciplining you? If He isn't, you're in trouble. He said, everyone. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. He's talking to that church age. Verse 20, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I like that. You can do that every day. Just enjoy a meal with the Lord every day. Every time you read His Word, you're doing that. Hallelujah. Now turn to John 8. Now we're going to get into, just for the last couple minutes here, we're going to get into the area of how to not be deceived. John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 2. Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, there's the key, those who believed Him, believed that He was the Son of God, believed what He said was the truth. If you abide in My Word, remain, dwell in His Word, you are His disciple indeed. Then, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that's the key for not being deceived, is stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. And don't let your natural mind interpret it. Let the Word of God interpret itself, and let your spirit, your born-again spirit, agree with it. Let the Holy Spirit speak through your spirit, and He will. But you've got to know the truth. He's got to have something to work with. If I come up and talk to you about a book that you've never read, how are you going to know what I'm talking about? If I come up and talk to you about the Word of God and you can't talk about it, it means you haven't been in it. I'm sorry if this is blunt. We're living in the last days, brother and sister. We got to quit playing church. You either mean business with God, or you may find yourself in the wrong place at the right time. John chapter 16, verse 13. Now, there's many more scriptures that will work here and back this up, but these are sufficient that if you'll do those two, you'll never be deceived in your spirit, and that will keep you on track. 16:13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Now, when I read that scripture, I quote that scripture daily. This is how I do it. He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He is guiding me into all truth. He does not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He is speaking to me, and He is telling and showing me things to come. That's what keeps me from being deceived. It's not me. It's His Word. It's His life. And if it works for me, it'll work for you. I don't trust my mind. I trust God's Word. My mind can be wrong. His Word can't. My spirit knows when it's right and when it's wrong. It just is, because it's hooked in with the Holy Ghost. What better can you be hooked up to than the Holy Ghost? He wrote the Word. If you can't depend on Him, you ain't got nothing. He's the only thing you can depend on here today, is the Holy Ghost in the Word of God, and that'll keep you straight. Because I guarantee you, when you do something wrong spiritually in the Word of God, the Holy Ghost is going to come to you and say, you're wrong. And He'll take you into the Word, and He'll show you where it's right. Say, this Word is the right track to be when the rapture takes place. That's the track Jesus is coming back on, is this one. And if you're on that track, you'll go. I'm glad only God knows that answer. Because my flesh would like to preach, if you ain't doing the Word, you ain't going to make it. That isn't what He says. His love is so much greater than ours. Oh, thank God it is. Some people are going to be there in spite of you. And there's going to be people there because of you. That's wonderful. That's the way it should be. Praise the Lord. Tammy, would you guys come up and let's sing that chorus again. And I want you just to respond. If you want salvation, come up and we will have personal workers go with you. But if you want to just come up and talk to the Lord, just come up and kneel around the altar. And you do it as we're singing this song. You respond to that. Those that have to go, you're free to go. But spend some time with the Lord. Because God's talking to some of you. I know that. I don't want to know what it's about, but I just know that He's talking to you, and He wants to talk to you personally, alone, for a little while. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your sweet presence here today. Father, we take the warning for our personal self about how we cannot be deceived. Lord, that we would be in Your perfect will from now through the time You take us out of here.
Lord, we know it's soon, and we want to touch a lot of people. We want to occupy until you come. We want to be that servant that you've called us to be. We don't want no deception in our life, Lord. But we know that we can't do that in our own strength. We trust you in helping us, because the decisions we make are according to your word and your will. Lord, I pray your blessing and anointing upon every person in here. Lord, I know you've touched all of our hearts this morning because of the great love you have for us. Help us to continue to just be more like you. And Lord, as we go forth this week, Father, we just pray that you'll anoint each person here to talk to somebody, to encourage somebody, to be a blessing to somebody, to do more in their own personal walk with God, to be more like Jesus. Bless them. Keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. There's no service tonight, so.
Hallelujah.